Christmas music in a London context, so it's like a guided tour as well. And yeah, we're going to talk about locations from the movie Last Christmas, and we'll talk a little bit about the writer of that song, George Michael. We'll deal with other Christmas music as we go as well. And we'll begin with a little poem by Noel Coward, who wrote about this season, about this time of year, when he was a boy actor, when he was a little boy. He wrote, I can remember the months of November and December were filled for me with peculiar joys, so different from those of other boys. I can remember the months of November and December, although climactically cold and damp, meant more to me than Aladdin's lamp. I never cared who scored the goal or which side won the silver cup. I never learned to bat or bowl, but I heard the curtain going up. Noel Coward. Sir Noel Coward. Poet, author, composer, jack of all trades, really. The Master was his nickname. I like to think of him primarily as a songwriter. I think he's a terrific songwriter, writer of pop songs. Born at this time of year. The clue's in the name, folks. Noel. Noel Coward. Born in December 1899. Great songwriter. There's a terrific line in that little poem about being a boy actor. He made his debut at the Coliseum Theatre, which is now the home of the English National Opera at the bottom of St. Martin's Lane. The line about him being, there he is in later life, the line about Christmas being filled for him with peculiar joys, so different from those of other boys. Now, we know now, you know, in our more easygoing modern era, we know now that when Noel Coward writes a line like that, he's writing about being gay, you know, which was, well, a very difficult thing to be when he was up and around. So it's a veiled reference to his sexuality, and we can find this all through his songs. And you'll find it from time to time as well in the work of this fella here, George Michael. His famous song, Last Christmas, there's a terrific little phrase in that. A man undercover, he describes himself in that lyric. I think many of us know now that that's clearly a reference to having to conceal his sexuality, even as recently as the 1980s, you know. It wasn't particularly easy to be out. Yeah, we'll talk about George's song, Last Christmas, as we go. And the movie. Noel Coward's plaque that I showed you earlier on can be found in Covent Garden, at the Actors Church in Covent Garden. St. Paul's Church, designed by Inigo Jones. There it is on screen there with a lovely Christmas tree. Last Christmas, the movie. How many of you have seen the movie? I'd better be careful with the spoilers, because I don't want to spoil the end. It's a nice, romantic, soppy movie, and I thought it was terrific. Not all the reviews were particularly kind, but these critics, what do they know? What do they know? Yeah, lovely romantic film based on George Michael's song. It's set largely in Covent Garden. Here's a still from the movie, The Piazza, laid out by Inigo Jones. What we're looking at here is the market shed from the 1830s. And just over here in the movie, Last Christmas, this is the Christmas shop. The Christmas shop here where Kate works all the year round. And there she is on the right there. She doesn't seem particularly happy to be working there either. She's quite grumpy about things. And there's the mysterious Tom with whom she falls in love. That's not to give anything away. I said it was a soppy romantic movie. There was going to be a love story. It's a lovely film. And Tom, well, he shows it around London. He turns out to be something of a tour guide on the quiet, old Tom. He shows around Covent Garden, which is a very musical place, Covent Garden. It's underneath the portico of the church here, St. Paul's, the Actors' Church, where Eliza Doolittle sells her wares in the musical My Fair Lady, based on George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion, of course. So My Fair Lady is set in Covent Garden, and this is St. Paul's Church. Now, fans of pop music from the 1980s will recognise St. Paul's Church from this picture here. Do any of you recognise this picture? This is Midge Ure, from the band Ultravox, and this is the video for the song Vienna. This may mean nothing to you, of course. You see what I did there? One of the most famous hits of the 1980s, a number two hit in the charts, and the video was filmed in Covent Garden. There's Midgeur looking moody, and there's his fellow band members casting shadows on St. Paul's, the actor's church, again designed by Inigo Jones. It's claimed to fame, Vienna, the single by Ultravox, its claim to fame is that it didn't get to number one. And it was kept from the number one spot by a record called Shut Up Your Face by Joe Dolce. Shut Up Your Face kept Vienna by Ultravox from number one. Joe Dolce, interesting career. He's still around, Joe Dolce. He's an actor and a poet and an activist, believe it or not. This was his second single. His first single was a thing called Boat People. Boat People, it was a protest song. To raise money for Vietnamese refugees in Australia, of all things. So he's had quite an interesting career. He's not just, you know, Shut Up Your Face, but he kept Ultravox from the number one spot, famously, in the 1980s. But, well, back to the task at hand here. Last Christmas by George Michael, performed by Wham. That was also kept from the number one spot, some of you will remember. There's the sleeve there. George and Andrew. Wham, they didn't get to number one that year, and they still haven't. They still haven't reached the number one spot with this song. It's been released a number of times, re-released a number of times, but it was kept from the top spot by this record, Do They Know It's Christmas, the Band-Aid single. The sleeve was designed at no fee by Peter Blake, the great pop artist who designed Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band for the Beatles. And, well, there are some of the singers there. George is on this record. There he is on the left there. So it's an unusual situation that George Michael had a hand in the number one and the number two record that year at Christmas 1984. So there's George Michael on the left there. Next to him is Bob Geldof, the co-writer of Do They Know It's Christmas with Midgeur. We saw him a minute or two ago. There's Sting of the Police there. And who's that on the right? Who's that nice big lassie on the right? She's nice. Who's she? Oh, sorry, it's Simon Le Bon. Do excuse me. Sorry, Simon. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran. This is 1984, when I was 15. I'm very pleased that camera phones were not around in 1984, because Simon Le Bon's haircut there is more or less exactly my haircut at the time as well. Luckily, there's very little photographic evidence to prove this. So all the pop stars of the day performed on Feed the World. There's the advert. Buy this record. It's very Bob Geldof, that, isn't it? Buy this record. It's direct. That's a page from Smash Hits, the pop music magazine at the time. And the advert was placed for free, at no charge, in all the music newspapers. Buy this record and raise money for charity. The thing is, if you bought Last Christmas as well, which got to number two there in the charts, you also were doing a lot of good for charity, because George Michael decided that all the royalties from Last Christmas should go to charity as well. So both records, number one and number two, George Michael performed on both of them. Both of them raised money for Ethiopian famine relief in 1984. It's very George Michael, that. We're going to come to his philanthropy a little bit later on, is what we're going to do.